welcome back to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm your host for tonight, and I'm here in the studio with Sean Cox. But before we get back to our conversation, I just want to remind everybody that you can download the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store to listen to us all day long. Of course, I'm always really thrilled when you tune in on Wednesday nights to listen to The Blank Canvas. And if you love the show and you missed part of it or you want to share it with a friend, we always upload the shows to the NAGB's website after it's aired. You go to www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Adult and Public Programs, and then you'll find all the kind of talks programs there. You'll find a tab for Blank Canvas. And you go into the Blank Canvas tab and you'll find all of the old archive shows. And really, they have them going back several years now, so it's quite interesting listening. You can see a picture of who was on the show, read the little blurb, and of course, listen to the show again and share it with a friend. So we encourage you to do that. And while you're at there in the NAGB's website, you know, always check out what's going on. The NAGB is an amazing resource. I don't work there anymore, but man, I'm glad I worked there for 10 years. It's an awesome place. It's a great institution, and it's something that all Bahamians should participate in. It's free. Every day it's open from Tuesday to Sunday. So you can go with your whole family, irrespective of your nationality, so long as you live in the Bahamas. You can go free to the NAGB. Tourists still pay because, you know, they need to make some money. But it's great. And there's always several shows on. There's a sculpture park. There's free Wi-Fi. There's air conditioning. It's child friendly. A lot of people think that, you know, museums are not that child friendly. It's always been free for kids, and we're always very welcoming to see young people there. So I really encourage people to go there and, you know, check out also all the other art spaces. I've had so many of them on the show. Turn is my new gallery out west. The Current in Bahamar is a really awesome space. They have art classes as well. They do like printing and sip and paint. They're going to be putting up a framing shop. There's ICE out on Fire Trail Road opposite BTVI, which is an amazing like complex of studios, and where Antonius Roberts is working, but also a lot of young people. There's 6260 on East Bay Street. I mean, there are so many spaces. Dungalik, of course, on Village Road. I always kind of forget Dungalik because I just feel like it's such an institution. And Dungalik has actually become almost like a small museum to the history of Jackson Burnside. So it's really worth visiting. It's been completely rehung during the pandemic. And so I encourage people to go to that too. So there's so much art and culture on this island. It really upsets me when people are like, there's nothing to do, or people say, oh, there's no culture here. And I'm just like, no, man, you ain't looking hard enough if that's what you're saying. So anyway, and I've got John Cox here tonight, who's been a really important sort of advocate for the arts community, a generator of creating spaces that are for the people. And that was, you know, with Pop-Up. He was a professor at UB for many, many years. A lot of the younger artists came up under John Cox. He was at the NAGB. He was the original educator there, became the chief curator, and is currently the arts director at Bahamar.
The title keeps changing.
But what's the title now?
Huh? The actual title?
Yeah.
Okay. So the actual title, like what it says on my card, it says Executive Director of Arts and Culture.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
There it is.
Yeah, that's fancy. Executive Director
fancy.
Of Arts and Culture.
There
woohoo!
You go. There you go.
Because before you were like the Creative Arts Director. Okay. So you're Executive Director now.
Yeah.
And because you're not only just in charge of the Current, you're in charge of like all the buildings, right?
All of it. Yeah.
And,
I mean, everything to do with art.
And the brands are
thankfully very, very on board with us.
Like, yeah.
So they, I would say, 90% of the art on the property is ours.
Yeah, which is amazing. I have to say, every time I go to Bahamar, you know, I mean, again, I've got my problems with these big giant hotels, as many do. I love, you know, again, things that are like less visible maybe, or invasive in a way. But again, I see also a lot of benefits there. And I mean, people do forget that one of the things Bahamar did was use Bahamian art in like almost every single space, like all the bedrooms, all the, like, again, like a lot of artists sustain themselves for a while, and the Current is still sustaining many. So that's, you know, and that, again, like we said, that's part of the process. Let's talk a little bit about the NAGB, because we were both there. You know, just what are our wishes for it? So, you know, it's hard to go. Like, you know, I think we both know it's kind of like
It's a wonderful institution that needs, that has a history, a deep and rich history with you know, amazing people like yourself and Erica James, and all of the staff and crew that work, that have, you know, tirelessly put that place together.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
difficult. I mean, I think the Energy Bee is like the perfect example of just what we're talking about, like the transition, right? Is that, you know, you don't, I think this is the thing that's good for creatives to know, and maybe for the general audience, the general population to know, you don't have to be one thing.
Yeah.
It's actually okay for you to be multiple things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the kind of biggest realization that I have recently. It's like, you know, it, what is true is that multiple things are true at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think that we've kind of come, we've come to a space where I think it's to a detriment in general. Like, people want to be completely monolithic. Like, they only want to be with the people who agree with what they think. And I mean, I'm talking about artistically, culturally, and everything else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They just want to be with people who are only like them. And I think that, you know, people like us, we have a different perspective there. And my background as an educator, like, I think of my team and I think of my interactions with people in the creative community as like an education process. Not mm-hmm. that I'm high and mighty and I know more than them, because I also see it as me being
as
somebody who
learned.
Was taught.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, when I was young and Brent Malone allowed me to have a solo show at the Upstairs Art Gallery. I think that was like before, that was like 1998 or something
but
like that.
But I also think, like,
I
learned
from
to learn.
This guy.
You also continue to learn from younger people, right?
Exactly.
So,
I mean, so my mentors are older people and younger people, mm-hmm. but the idea is that sometimes when you don't get it right, like, that's okay,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's some kind of consequence to people not wanting to get things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they just do
the little thing
that they can get right.
Yeah.
Because
they
don't want to be criticized, right?
Right.
And I feel like that, you know, we were talking briefly before we came on air about Ken Robinson, that TED Talk that's really famous from 2005. And he did say something in that was very interesting. He goes, you know, you have to be willing to be wrong to be original.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that there's a lot of things that we need to kind of come to terms with. And you look at some of these amazing artists and all the stuff that they do, and, you know, the younger artists who are coming up, and sometimes you just watch them crash into the wall, and sometimes mm-hmm. you just need to watch that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because sometimes you just can't tell a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good idea, because the way that they are, they're just like, oh, I need to figure it out for myself. And it's like, well, there's like a balance of going, well, okay, I'm here to cultivate this situation as much as possible. When I'm sure, and I was young and I talked to Max Taylor and I'm like, I really want to try to I'm going to cut my block like this. And he's probably going to go, dude, that's not going to work.
Yeah, but you have to figure it out.
You just need to, I'm going to let you cut that.
Yeah.
And then you're going to figure out that it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be good, because then that's information. That's mm-hmm. valuable information that then you can give to somebody else. And I think you can do that type of thing, you know, from like a hands-on perspective, but also from, like, we're arts administrators,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is a rare thing. Nobody in the arts wants to be an administrator, right?
But no
the thing is, but it's super important. You can't, you can't, like you said, there's no important, you're creating the canon. You have to write the history.
Yeah.
You need to be able to put these things in context. So when people look back, you're not just, I paid my fees, but, you know, you can pay your fees and you can be in the museum and you can, you know what I mean? You can be meaningful in the community.
I think what's important from the administrator standpoint, and I think that's what the NAGB does really well, and maybe there do need to be other institutions doing that, which is, again, what we're trying to do that at Turn with the artists we work with, is create is that administration side, because it's, you know, you can sell all the work you want, but if you're not documenting it, taking a photograph, writing down the dimensions, writing out where it is and who owns it, and creating, like, what we call in the industry a catalogue raisonné, when you, in 200 years... I mean, that's the problem you have with Amos Ferguson, right? And doing that show we did. We didn't know where they were, those paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, a lot of people have them because he made so many. We just were like, put an ad in the paper. But there's probably 100, 200 in the States, in France, in Spain. No one knows where they are. And so they're lost. They're lost to history.
Right.
They might end up in someone's garage. We can't put it in a catalog. Like, and so you're basically losing that artist's whole career.
Right.
And so I think that's why kind of the admin side, it's really unsexy, but it's important, like, to write things down, to keep mm-hmm. lists, to, again, document everything. And with photographers, it's particularly complex because, you know, how many editions are there and how many have been made and how many haven't been made. And doing all that, it's very detailed work, and it maintains the value of the artist. And mm-hmm. it, then again, like, when we talk about in 200 years. Some young curator wants to write a project on what was happening in the year 2020 in the Bahamas. Maybe in 2020, somebody wants to write about Jackson Burnside's statement that in 2020. And like, exactly. Where are they going to find that information? Somebody exactly. has to actually record that.
Exactly.
And store it somewhere in a way that it can be retrieved. And that's right. the other thing, that it can be retrieved.
Right.
Not in your head, not in a notebook in your drawer.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's the role of the different institutions, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the work that's been so beautiful about the NAGB. NAGB has produced and continues to produce the most beautiful and thoughtful catalogs,
mm-hmm.
right? I think without the NAGB catalogs, there would be so much would be lost,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that that's the important part of the wholeness of the creative community. I remember when I was teaching at COB, UB now, long time ago, and people, I mean, to this week, I see people that I used to teach and who are not artists, who work in the bank or police officers or a doctor or whatever. And like, oh, you remember I was in your art appreciation class and it was so amazing. And it was, and it's reassuring to me because even back then I was like, it's very important that I don't just say these things to the artists because mm-hmm. that's just one part of
yeah.
the team. It's almost like a sport. Like you can't just coach the offense. You have to coach the defense as well.
Yeah,
like
you have to,
it's about scoring the touchdown, but also
Stopping
the touchdown being scored on you, right? So, and I think that some of those things, like when we talk about, you know, as a metaphor, the touchdown being scored on us is having all these amazing things happen and not recording them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And going, it was really, really good, man. You should have been there. It was really awesome.
Or maybe even a little about like the last Olympics we just had, but also not televised.
Right.
They all could have won their gold medals, but I mean, for already there was no audience this time.
Exactly.
At least we had the TV.
Right.
But, you know, and I feel like that's what the Bahamian, it did for so long, the Bahamian art scene, was it was in the Olympics.
Right.
But there was no audience and no record.
right, exactly.
And so people are like, oh, you have artists? And it, I mean, that makes, you know, it makes me crazy. And you face that too when we travel. People are like, I'm like, oh, I work in the Bahamas. I work at the National Art Gallery. I have a gallery. And they're like, oh, there's art there? And you're just like, okay, first of all, I want to kill you.
Right.
But once I don't kill you, because where there's people, there's art. And that's just, again, it's because it's not recorded. It's because it's not advertised. It's because the Ministry of Tourism doesn't use it as much in their advertising.
It's because
the country isn't so, you know, like there's all these reasons why people think
and
there
also,
might not be
also
art
too
here.
I think one of the things that you and I'm not just blowing smoke because you're here or I'm here on your show, but I mean it's one of the things that I think you did amazing work with the NAGB was to position the institution in ways that afforded people the opportunity in their own time to appreciate the work that the institution was doing. You can't, you know what I mean? It's like a child. You can't just like put the food in front of the child and go eat it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it near them, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe I'm going to try this broccoli.
Yeah.
You know, I might not try it today, but I'm going to try it tomorrow. But somebody's going to put it near them. And
yeah,
so I
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
feel like you, I yeah. mean, it's a silly metaphor,
no,
but
no,
I think
I
it makes
it.
Sense. So
and
you kind of
it.
you
yeah.
kind of put the plate of broccoli
yeah, yeah.
near a lot of people who would not have had it put
yeah.
had it put near them. And I don't think that it took your personality to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have, and that's you being like a multidimensional person, like going, yeah, dude, I could write a pretty badass essay, right, about contemporary art or whatever you want to think,
yeah.
but that's going to be lost on
yeah.
9 out of 10 people in the room.
Yeah.
But I know how important it is that I need to move this platform where I'm going to write that essay closer to a space where mm-hmm. somebody's going to go, huh, there's a paragraph there that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And it puts a crack
yeah. Yeah.
in the door. And
yeah,
then
exactly.
all of a sudden,
yeah.
and in that crack is where
yeah.
some amazing artist
yeah.
is going to come through and go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that was there.
Yeah.
I'm changing my whole path. So
yeah, yeah.
it's important for us to kind of be that way and to be, because people are going to like, what are you doing? What are you talking to these people for? They don't care. They don't even like what we're doing. Not a smart decision.
No, not a smart thing.
From a high level arts administration position, you have
yeah.
to be willing to be unpopular to make some of those moves where you're just going
yeah.
like, this is going to be lost on people.
Yeah. Yeah. And one, you just have to be willing to engage like everywhere. I think that's something about, I think being an arts administrator is you never discount any potential audience member,
right?
You know, because you just never know. Like you said, like there, you just. I got my. I'm really appreciate what you said, and I think, and you know, I thank you for that. The plate of broccoli. Cause I remember I met with a really great museum director in the city I lived at before I came here, which was Frankfurt, Germany. and he's now the head of like the National Gallery of Germany or whatever in Berlin. His name was Udo Kittelmann. I remember I interviewed him because I started out as an art writer, right? Now I remember interviewing him, and he said, to me, the museum is like a big mouse trap. And he's like, you have to make, like, you have to, like, you know, put something there. It's like, it's a trap. You have to put something out that's going to intrigue people to get them in. And then once you get them in, then you're like, okay, now right. I got you.
Right.
And I always kind of remembered that. So I think maybe that led some of the, the thought process behind,
you know,
behind
and
what I did.
To me, I think the thing that you have done at NAGB and what you guys are going to do at Turn or are doing at Turn and are going to continue to do at Turn and all the other institutions, what I try to do at the current or at Bahamar in my role is to like build on those things, right? Because I think what ends up happening is you have this perception of the place that you're going to based on the type of experience that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some instances, your plate of broccoli that you position the institution closer to, like my department is a plate of broccoli as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm there communicating with the other GMs and all the other executive team to say, wow, like the more we're here, the more you begin to see
the benefit of what
of,
we do.
Of what of why we're actually here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, it's important for us to make money. Yes, it's important for us to hit the budget and all that kind of stuff. And that can be hugely anxiety building for mm-hmm. a person like me who's in charge of all that stuff. But what's more important is that people start to value
the work you do.
Because once they start valuing it, then they can bring their leverage to it. And the budget will be the last thing you need to worry about hitting.
Yeah,
because you will be so outside of your budget that people won't even know what to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's the important type of work. I mean, I always kind of compare when you go to New York City, you can't compare New York City to here, just like you talking about Frankfurt and here. But when you go to the Museum of Modern Art and you have these experiences, you're looking at all these high masters, you're looking at all this amazing work. The people, the characters that are reflected, the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, the conflicts, the successes and failures, everything that are in that those types of institutions embody reflect the level of complexity of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that at this point yet the tourism model reflects the complexity of Bahamianness.
No. Yeah.
Right? And so what we've done is we've given people a simplified version of who we are, mm-hmm. and that's what we do. But the reality is that that is the largest number of people that mm-hmm. experience who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that Prada Blockley
exactly.
needs to go near that because in that body of all these millions of people who are coming here.
Yeah, we're basically giving tourists candy.
Right. And some of those tourists are the people who could be game changers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
They're sprinkled through there and they're like, oh, I was there. I didn't realize this was going to be here. And then they come and they go, I'm so impressed and amazed that this is here.
Exactly. And actually, we'll talk about that after the break, about, you know, like a very small situation that like led to a big situation and how we could have more of those. And I think also even this show, The Blank Canvas, is part of that too. So it's mm-hmm. making, you know, it's being on the air every week, talking about art and culture in a way that is, again, like we're not sitting here bringing out philosophy books. We're just, you know,
discussing.
Just discussing and making it hopefully accessible. So we're going to go to a quick break. I'm here with John Cox, who is the executive director of art and culture at Bahamar and The Current, and was formerly at the NAGB when I was there, and has been again a longtime advocate for the arts in the Bahamas. And we're going to go to a quick break and come right back to continue that conversation. Thank you so much for listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this break.